My name is Erik Eng, coming from a software company in Norway, quality management software, also working at the University College in Trondheim, up in the middle part of Norway, as a lecturer, and also doing a lot of work with international projects, especially on Leonardo da Vinci projects, where we are running 8 or 10 different projects. Talk a little bit about the background for what we are doing, give some examples. But first, some definitions that we are using, and maybe the definitions is also the reason for the work we are doing. We say knowledge is information evaluated and organized so that it can be retrieved and presented. We said that competence is the ability to perform properly a given task with a specified knowledge. So knowledge and competence is two different things. Skills is an ability to perform an action or a set of actions. But this means that for the education, knowledge can be transferred through the use of different pedagogical methodologies and use of content for educational purposes. That means the content can be distributed through an LMS, through learning design, through DVD paper, through streaming video, or through tools like Wiki or Web2 type software. But that is to distribute the knowledge. Skills that can be trained through practical sessions or by use of virtual tools. In welding, where I'm coming from, a skill is to have a welding tool to follow a given path. And you can train that either practically by welding, or you can use virtual tools to get that movement in your arm back and forth. But competence, that will be obtained through practical work where the combination of knowledge and skills are utilized to perform a certain task. There you get the competence. That means you can only review the competence when you are doing something, when you are actually performing a given task where you need to combine the knowledge and the skills in an activity. That means it will be obtained by cooperation with others or by doing a task, or it can be obtained through what we have said, the corrective action process, which means that you are doing a mistake and correct that in order to obtain a better competence on the knowledge that you have gained. I use a practical example, downhill skiing in Norway. I can learn you everything about that through use of LMSs or written content, through the use of video, through the use of streaming. But the proof of the pudding is eating. That means if you are going downhill, then you get the competence and you understand what I'm telling you through the content that I have given you. But only when you really prove it or take the chance of doing this, then you see how it works and you obtain the competence. Traditional education, at least within the welding sector where I'm coming from, means that you are using course books, you are using mathematics to calculate things, you're using course book to study a topic, metallurgy, for example, heat influences and different things. You are being educated by the use of course books and contents and practice and multiple choice questions. But we know from practice in Norway and from studies, approximately of the students that are studying or being trained as welders, 15% of them has dyslexia, which means then it starts to be difficult to use heavy course books. We know that a high percent of the students have problems with mathematics. Consequently, if we are presenting a problem using mathematical topics in order to let them calculate, they will fall off. We know also that the average age of the students are between 20 to 30 years old, which means that most of the students has been out in industry, have had one or two or more jobs before they are returning to school to have a further lifelong education, which means they are not used to sit back onto their desks and listen to a teacher talking about a topic. And that means the consequences, as we see it, that the traditional classroom training must be altered. Students need to be motivated to study. Although if they are going back to the school and the age of between 20 and 30, they are very often motivated. But at least we have to stimulate that motivation further. We also know that the students have valuable experience from their previous work, which we can use as teachers. And we know that the students have cases that can be exploited in the training. What our theory has been is that why not, when the students are in that age group, 20 to 30, when they have industrial experience, why not stimulate the students also to make content based on their lifelong experience, which we can use as content in education. We introduced a couple of years ago something we called activity-based training. And activity-based training means that we give the students at the start of the class a task of doing something, to create something. If it was a welder course, they should make, for example, a bus or a car or something like that. That was a topic. If it's an engineering course, it could be designing of a crane or something like that. But that means that if you should do that, you should follow the production process, which means that you don't start to look into the course books. You start with quite different things and structure the education according to the production process, which means that from a traditional point of view, we mix the way we are presenting the content to the students and give them tasks accordingly. This is a LAMS sequence for a welding course. Following that, we made that 2 years ago. It becomes rather heavy as a structure. I think it's around 40, 50 megabytes of content in here. But basically, it's difficult to see here, but we start with a work order. That means order to produce something. Then we add a lot of tasks for the students. We added the cutting of materials, welding of materials, verification of the quality of the product that they are doing, and so on and so on, and build it up. And the end, the examination at the end was that the quality of the product they have made was approved. The new courses that we now are designing will be based on the same idea. The feedback from the activity-based training we introduced was very positive. So we are going to continue to let the students produce something, which means when they are starting a designer course, the end of the day should be that after the course they have designed a product. And that product should be usable. It's not a theoretical product. In addition, we will introduce industry cases where something went wrong. And why are we doing that? Because in most cases, people are very focused on doing things correct. But we know from practice that when they are getting out in the industry, they start to do things wrong. So why not introduce the wrong thing at the beginning and say, here we have a problem. When we are talking about this topic, we give you this case, you see that something has been destroyed or not been done properly, and then we ask, why does this happen? And they tell me what would be the correct way of doing it, instead of me telling them that this is the correct way. Or that could be breakdown, for example. Something has not been done correct. And these cases will be introduced in each step of the educational process, which means we have to add a number of cases. Or the students can bring their own cases, because in many cases the students have seen this happen. And then we introduce the case and ask, tell me why. I'll give you an example. In the last welding course I had, one of the welders had been welding on some hinges on a ferry. And in front of a ferry, the front goes up when it comes ashore and the car dries out. And the hinges here break and was destroyed. And I asked him, what did you do? And he said, I welded it and repaired it. And I said, what happened? It was destroyed once more. Then I asked him, what did you do? Then, after that, of course, I welded even more. Asked him, okay, did that solve the problem? No, he said, it was a very bad design, so it broke even more. But all of us that knows welding understood that he didn't know what he was doing, because he was introducing what we called heat distortion into the material, and the more heat he put in, the more problems he got. So by telling me that story, he gave me a very good example to investigate what actually happened. And then suddenly we had 3 hours of discussion of what caused the problem, how could we solve the problem, how to get around the problem, and so on and so on. So the cases shall be used for reflection around a problem or a set of problems. But many of these problems can be documented through the use of video. And the reason we want to use video for many of these cases is it's difficult to communicate a technical problem with the wording that we have, because our language is not very strong in communicating detailed technical problem, especially if we don't have the knowledge. Then it's better to see it. See something breaks, for example. Then we will ask, why cannot student report also by use of video? How shall you solve it? Okay, make a video sequence. Show it to me. How should I behave in a workshop? Show it. Don't write it. Show it. And the students of today with the YouTube generation is a video generation. Much clever, more clever in doing a video sequence than a written sequence. A case can be presented as a set of problems that can be presented through lamps, maybe as a branch set of topics, or as a topic map, or a mind map, as you call it. Here you see a tool we are just developing in one of these Leonardo projects that we are currently using. Here we will, by changing the opening between the plates and the plate thickness, we calculate the material that is needed to fill the gap. And this is a very good tool to get rid of the mathematics, play with the sliders that you see up on the screen, and you see the pieces move dynamically back and forth. You see the weight, which is calculated very down on the screen there, is going up and down. And the weight of filler material means hours. Weight of filler material means cost, for example. Then they can do an activity without knowing the mathematics, but they can see the consequences. And we can start to discuss what is the consequences if you use 1 millimeter opening between the plates instead of 2. Does it have any consequences? Have a play? Show me. And what is the consequences? What do you think this can add on later as other things? A possible case could look like this. Start, make a group of the classroom classes, give them some common resources, have a branch out, have an evaluation at the end, and a stop point. That could be a short sequence around the case. Or maybe something like this. This is taken from the Norwegian version of LAMPS, therefore you get the Norwegian wordings here. But again, common resources, have a branch out to different activities, an evaluation, maybe a discussion forum with a refer. And then that reference could be a new learning content, put it on the wiki. And establish a kind of a wiki as a solution for the content as we are moving on. Or a branch could be something like that, going into a topic map, design a topic map for a given problem, or having common resources with a forum, Refere, using DimDim, for example, for communication between the students. Conclusion, we are moving into a new world. This is from my latest classroom activity in Norway, using a digital smart board, using video conference. You see my students in the background, 600 kilometers away. It's a class of 13 pupils. We were running sessions every Tuesday from 9 to 12 over a two-month period, using LAMPS for the content. They got activities through LAMPS. They followed it up activities through LAMPS. I had a communication face-to-face every Tuesday from 9 to 12, discussing things, asking questions, solving problems with them, giving new cases, and so on. And every Tuesday, we ended up that they got a new task that they have to solve for the next session. So, for the well designer, most probably we end up with the same or something similar like this, like you have seen here. Okay, thank you.